I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For many centuries, April 25th has been the feast day of a very important saint, the evangelist and martyr, Saint Mark. In modernity, it is evident that scholars have chosen to do whatever they can to destroy reason for anyone to turn their attention to the life and ministry of this Saint Mark, but we shall do better than that today. It is first of all most important to remember that beginning with records from the first century, from a bishop named Papias, we have attribution of Saint Mark's authorship for the gospel now bearing St. Mark's name. And you see there's no page in the gospel according to St. Mark that says written by St. Mark, but it was attributed to him from the very first century. Some confusion has been stirred even since the second and third centuries, differentiating between Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, Mark the evangelist, and John Mark that appears in the Acts of the Apostles. But most of the church has always recognized each of these three Marks to actually be the same Mark. And so do I, and I hope you do too. Perhaps most importantly for us today, St. Mark was the assistant to St. Paul and St. Barnabas, a role which is mentioned in the book of Acts. But unfortunately, it's not so much the service of St. Mark that brings his name forward, rather than the fact that he departed from the company at Pamphylia, chapter 13 of Acts, without any recorded reason. But whatever the reason, it is likely that he abandoned the ministry, for the same St. Mark was rejected by St. Paul when he wished to return for service, causing a rift with St. Barnabas, who sided with Mark, wanting to be merciful to Mark. And that argument between Barnabas and Paul over Mark was so great that afterward Paul and Barnabas took separate paths, St. Paul now taking Silas with him to be his assistant. The two were later reconciled, St. Paul and St. Mark. I always like to think it's because it's very difficult for St. Paul to preach a gospel of reconciliation when he's not reconciled with his own assistant. Later, St. Paul refers to Mark as helpful, and St. Peter refers to him as son in the epistles of St. Timothy and 1 Peter. But outside the scriptures, perhaps our best and earliest resource is Eusebius of Caesarea, the great early church historian who wrote at the beginning of the 4th century much of the history that had been handed down orally up until that time. And Eusebius indicates that St. Mark, after some time with Barnabas, became the assistant and interpreter for St. Peter after Peter had escaped from the prison of Herod Agrippa, Acts chapter 12. Mark, having heard after a while so many of St. Peter's sermons and stories about Christ, he was urged by those who knew him at Rome to write down these first-hand accounts of St. Peter, a request which he eventually obliged, the words which we now find in the second gospel of the New Testament, gospel according to St. Mark. Tradition holds it that it was St. Mark who just a few years later traveled to Alexandria and founded the church in Africa. The Coptic Orthodox Church counts St. Mark as their founder. And speaking of scripture and tradition, the tradition of the Coptic Church finds St. Mark at other places in the scripture as well. They find him as one of the servants at the wedding of Cana, one of the ones that was asked to go and fill up those pots with water. They see him as one of the 70 disciples that was sent out by Christ in Luke chapter 10. They see him as the one who carried water to the house where the Last Supper took place, and even as the host of the disciples in the room where the coming of the Holy Spirit occurred at Pentecost. But St. Mark would have been, though involved in all of these things possibly, very young when all this happened. And now we find the paradox of St. Mark. For St. Mark is held up as a chief evangelist of the church, and now St. Mark. And yet we have evidence that he was a young man without a perfect record. The four beasts of Revelation are associated with the four Gospels, and St. Mark takes his symbol as the lion. You can see it on our cross, actually. I think the lion is... He's on the right. So that's St. Mark on the left hand of Christ there. Beast from the book of Revelation, each associated with one of the Gospels. But why does he take the image of the lion? Because of the ferocious pace of the Gospel that he wrote, consistently jumping to great miracles of Christ and leaving out much of the historical background. A Gospel over 10 chapters shorter than the more detailed accounts of a St. Matthew or a St. Luke. Perhaps the roar then was more of a flash in the pan. Perhaps an example of the impulsiveness and distractibility of youth. Well, let's see. Now, St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, which is read on this day for St. Mark, is apparently chosen by the church for the simple reason that it includes the word evangelist. And St. Mark was an evangelist. But I think there's a phrase there that could be in St. Paul's mind, thinking of St. Mark as he exhorts the Ephesians that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Could it be that St. Paul, when he wrote this to the Ephesians, had a little picture of St. Mark in his mind as this young man who fled the ministry and was led astray, wishing for him not to depart forever, but to grow up? In his second epistle to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes about the perils that he had undergone under the care, or while he was caring for his churches, saying in chapter 11 that he was in journeyings often. St. Paul had St. Mark with him in those journeyings. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren. Ooh. This young man, this young Christian, St. Mark, who was thought to be the one who fled without his cloak from the side of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you know that? When he fled Christ, when the temple soldiers arrived, could it now also be he that fled from the service of St. Paul in the same manner? Perhaps St. Paul held him in mind when he wrote those words that henceforth we be no more children tossed to and fro, but rather speaking the truth in love. Many people, many Christians like to think of St. Peter as their favorite saint because he's so imperfect it makes you feel better about yourself. Well, I'll say St. Mark might be in the running now. St. Peter was brought back into the service of Christ, and St. Mark is brought back into communion with St. Paul for the greater message. Paul would have to admit, the greater message is love, and there it is. A message that is witnessed to by St. Mark in his Gospel and spoken of most clearly today in this passage from St. John's Gospel. And so St. Mark takes the lion as his symbol, but hear the roar of the Lion of Judah. Listen to him in whom there is no shadow of turning, Jesus, who says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Before he met Christ, St. Paul was bearing no fruit. St. Mark, if it is true that he fled Christ and fled the ministry journey of St. Paul, he was also for a time bearing no fruit. And perhaps each had to be purged and pruned and cut back so that they could bear fruit. A persecutor of the church, indeed, St. Paul had to be knocked off his high horse. And he recalled that for his entire ministry, that he was probably chief amongst the sinners of the church. And now St. Mark, with a reputation for fleeing, unsure of his place in Christ, was purged by St. Paul and restored, given work to do, he would not be timid again. He would not be fruitless again. By the time he came into his own, St. Mark had watched, if you think of all the ones that he had spent time with, St. Paul had watched Jesus himself. St. Mark had watched St. Paul. St. Mark had watched St. Barnabas. St. Mark had watched St. Peter. And when he was given his mission to Alexandria and to Africa, he would not stumble and he would not flee. He established the church there in Alexandria and found for himself the same kind of resistance that he had witnessed so many times before. St. Mark found that the locals of Alexandria, according to Eusebius, were not happy that this gospel of Christ was challenging their local traditional gods. And what would be the response of St. Mark after all of this? Would the first pope of Alexandria flee? No. St. Mark would not flee this time. And finally, in AD 68, they tied a rope around his neck and had him dragged through the city until he was dead. A violent end, and the reason we wear red on this day. But was there fruit from that branch? Well, let's put it this way. I challenge you to name for me the traditional gods of the first century of Alexandria, or show me their temple, or the building where they're gathering today. But if you've heard of the Coptic Orthodox Church, there are two in Greenville, South Carolina. There's a big one in Malden, and they're having a big time today, St. Mark's Day. And we're a long, long way from Alexandria. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, though. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the Anglican Church, we believe in the communion of saints, as we say in the Nicene Creed. We believe that we are in direct fellowship with St. Mark, as we are in communion with each other this morning, in so much as we are all in communion with Christ. And we may ask for the intercession of St. Mark in the same way that we ask for the intercession of our own fellow Christians and of the intercessory prayer group here at St. George's. But there's a reason that St. Mark is called St. Mark, and that reason is the example that he set for us. We see this one today who at first faltered in the face of difficulty and persecution, and we see that this was one who was carried away, but who later became established in the truth of the gospel and spoke the gospel in love. Now we speak of St. Mark, whose life ended in martyrdom in 68 BC, which is a million years ago. But what about the winds of doctrine that blow today? Who is being carried away today? And what about the temptation to slip out the back door on April 25th, 2021? And as Christ is brought before the magistrates of this day, what about the temptation to flee? What if here at St. George there were no building left to house us? What if there were no law left to protect us? What if there were soldiers approaching to find out which of us were also with this Christ? Where would we be? Who would need to see themselves purged for a time? Who would be ready to bear fruit? Who would flee? Perhaps the time does not approach for us, but for many of our brothers and sisters around the world, the day has already come. And as we ponder that, let us think of St. Mark, and let us make the colic for this day our own prayer, for he is the reason that we pray on this day, O Almighty God, who has instructed thy holy church with the heavenly doctrine of the evangelist St. Mark, give us grace that being not like children, carried away with every blast of vain doctrine, we may be established in the truth of thy holy gospel, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.